Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many are excited about what God's doing? That last song we sang, you know, it said that, you know, His presence is an open door. Is that right? Is it an open door?
Yes.
It really is. Folks, we are under an open heaven. God has called us. He said, come on in. Come on. That's what Jesus did for us. He died for us that we might have access into the King of Kings, into the throne room of God, where God and Jesus are seated at the throne. Is that cool? Hallelujah. And He sent His Spirit into your life so that you can find that access and step in. Is that cool? That's a good deal. It's the best deal of the, I mean, there's nothing like it. Amen? Hallelujah. And can you put up those words? I was looking at the words when these were being, can you put up the words on that song? Hallelujah. Caught them off guard. Hallelujah. How many of you brought your cell phones today? Anybody bring your cell phone? Hallelujah. No, seriously, how many brought your cell phones today? Is it off? Yeah, okay, well, just a minute. So Your presence is an open door. We want You like never before. Can I get to the other part? This is a good chorus. I know breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle. My God made me a promise, and I won't stop now. I like that. How many of you like that? Every time I sing this song, my spirit, I sense the things that God is trying to do in this city. And He's taking the people of God, men and women of God, with a purpose and a plan and a desire to serve God in what God has for them and move into the city and begin to just do what he tells them to. Is that cool? It's not that hard. It's not that... But God has made promises to us. This property around the building, it belongs to us. It belongs to Him. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Even this property around the building belongs to Him. And God says, I'm giving it to you. So continue to pray for that. I don't know why the wheels are rolling so slow on that, but I know that God is watching us. And He's saying, pray. Believe me for it. How many know it's important that you believe God in the things that He's promised?
Yeah.
Is that right? Your access are the promises of God. Do you know that? Your access, He hears His promises coming out of your lips. That's what God says. That's what I'm looking for right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many brought your cell phones? Can I get that one more time? I'm going to ask you to do something. This probably, I don't know if anybody will ever do this in the church. They better not. Can I get everybody? My message today is called, I forgot. Selfie Maniac. And I'll tell you, I got that because I picked up my phone one day. And my granddaughter helps me to make my sermons. But I picked up my phone one day and I opened it and it said, you are out of space. I don't know what you guys know the words probably, but me storage. There you go. You're out of storage. I guess out? How can I be out? So I took a look at it, see where it was at. It was all in photos. My granddaughter had I mean, there were so many pictures I couldn't believe it. She took up all the space in my cell phone. So at first I was going, hey, that's cute. Okay, I'll hold that. Okay, all of a sudden I go, how many did she get? Oh my God, I just started deleting. Amen. Got all my space back. But can I get you to do something? Those of you that have a phone that you want to do this, you don't have to do it. Can I get you to get up? Stand up. Hallelujah. Can I get everybody to stand up? Get your cell phone. And this is what I want you to do. Those of you that are standing, go find somebody that's sitting. How's that? Find somebody that's sitting, and I want you to get a selfie with you and them. And then there's a number right here. There's going to be a number on the screen. We're going to send it to Abe, and Abe at the end of the service is going to put it up on the screen. So everybody, grab your phone, grab a picture. I'm going to give you a few minutes for that. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Selfie maniacs. Come on, man. Come on. Missed it. Melvin. Okay. Send it that number on the screen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Find somebody with a scowl on their face. Come on. Come on. Come on. Find somebody that looks like they don't want to be here. Come on. Is that the wrong? Did I give you the wrong number? I did. Okay. Hey, this is the number up here. That little bitty number in the red. There you go. Come on, man. Glory to God. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. No. Yeah, okay. I'll do that with my sister. That's my sister. Glory to God.
So take a picture.
Can I do it sideways? Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you guys get everybody? Did everybody get a picture? Glory to God. Selfie maniacs. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we're still talking about the will of God. And I believe God's will is showing up in a flow towards your life. I believe, like I spoke last week, still getting, hey, are we getting pictures back yet? Good. He says, yes. Hallelujah. Last week, I spoke a little bit about how the flow of God, the flow of God's will began to take a hold of my life and all these little things I began to do, starting with doing the dishes and then also coming into walking around this place and doing what God has asked to do. And that's what I just want to talk to you about. Those things that God is asking you to do. He's very, very politely. How many know that God is a, how many God does not force you to do anything? Is that right? He's going to ask you. Sometimes the things that he asks you to do, you think it's your own thought, your own direction. But God is sometimes just saying, hey, do this and do that, do that. The more you listen to that voice, the more you begin to pick up on it, begin to hear what God's word is saying, what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you for the moment. The more you grab a hold of that, the more you begin to hear the voice of the Lord. It's important that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And it's important that you be able to tune in to what the Lord is saying to you personally. How many say amen to that? Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. I got a brother that was just telling me this the other day, and I got just really fired up about it. Really blessed me because this brother, he was telling me, he goes, hey man, I went out into my yard the other day, and as I was walking out, I heard all of a sudden I started thinking about black widow spiders. And he goes, so I went outside, and there, sure enough, there's a black widow spider out there. And he says, I had to go find something to kill it. I think he found some raid, I think it was. Is that right?
And
oven cleaner. Same thing. Is that right? Oven cleaner. Praise God. And he says a week or so later, he's going out. He's got to turn these lights on in his back porch. He's got to reach underneath kind of like a stand and hit the, I guess there might be a little bit of a surge protector or something there. And he went to, and right before he did that, he heard black widow. And he looked, and sure enough, here's a black widow web right there in front, right where. So, you know, what excites me is, see, God will speak to you in your day. Is that cool? He will talk to you. He has been talking to you. And I just want you to just begin to take a hold of the times and the things that are going on around you where you start hearing things that God might be saying to you. Amen? Because God's desiring to talk to us. Amen? Now, you're going to find out that when God begins to speak to you, he speaks a lot. He begins to say a lot of things to you because his intent is to build you and strengthen you. Is that right? We have gone from church to church, folks. We have gone into churches and things, and because the church mindset is only set in one way, sometimes people get hurt in churches. How many know? How many say amen to that? Because they only look at God in one particular way. And I'm going to tell you something. The time has come. God is saying, hey, man. The way brother here thinks about me and the way brother over here might not be the same, but it's still me working in their lives. So they can do that. They can think that way. Is that right? The body of Christ is coming together. I'm going to just say that to you. The body of Christ, God is building the body. And can I just say this? The body is not here to pick each other apart. Can I say that to you? Is it okay? That's not what we're here for. We are to build one another up. And there's only one way that I know to build one another up in the kingdom of God is you speak the word of God or you speak the principles of God to your friend, to your neighbors, to those that are around you. You will begin to build them up. You will build them up. God says it this way. He says, haven't I written unto you excellent things in knowledge and in truth? He says that. He says, so that I might show you the certainty of the words of truth. How many know the words of truth are certain? How many of you have convinced, you're convinced, God has convinced you that his words are true and they're certain. Hallelujah. And he says, I have given you those things so that you might know the certainty of the words of truth. And then he says this, so that you might answer the words of truth to those that send to you. See, people are going to be coming to you to hear the truth that God has placed in your heart. That's God's move in the earth. Through the body of Christ, he'll be speaking to those that just stop to fix somebody's flat tire, to help them fix a flat tire. And all of a sudden, you're ministering, you're speaking a word to them, or you're just loving on them, and they say, man, where do you go? I mean, who are you? I mean, you're a blessing. Come on, man. Because God is desiring to build and not tear down. Hallelujah. So this message today, I just want you to know, this message today is not to tear down, but it's to build you up. Because the will of God is so important to the body of Christ today. How many know? Amen. Raise your hand if you mean that. If you mean amen. The will of God is important to the body of Christ. It's important to me. I don't want to be doing anything that's outside of his will. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Come on, man. We got to know what God has for us personally. The will of God is just not the world, you know, it is where it says, I will that none will perish is what God says. None will perish. But how's that going to happen? It's going to use that through the body of Christ so that none will perish, so that we could speak what God is saying into the world. Can you say that? Can you say amen to that? God has not saved you just to hold back. He saved you so that you can help, so that you can be a minister. Amen? If you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 20. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I ask you, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to hear what you're saying today, Father. Father, I would come against anything that is contrary to your will for your people this morning, Lord, that as they hear, they would realize, Lord, that it's you speaking and not men, that it is your word. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would open my heart, open my mouth to speak the things that you would have me to say this morning to your people, Lord. Use me, guide me. Father, quicken us this morning by your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 20, it says, and after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Just after that, the apostle Paul is testifying, and he's talking about Moses, and but he's in verse 20, he says, after that, God gave them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. How many of you remember when they were asking for a king? We got to have a king. We want a king because everybody else around us has a king. So we want a king. How many know they had a king? How many know they had one? Come on, man. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They had the greatest king they could have ever had. But they wanted a king because we want to be like everybody else around us. Amen. How many of you have heard that? Hey, I bought me a Chevy because I want a Chevy. Everybody else has a Chevy. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah, come on. I got to have a Ford. No Ford. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Come on. Cars are cars. Vehicles are vehicles. But he says this. After that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. You remember Saul? Saul was a king that started great. Is that right? He when they went to find Saul's donkeys, they went. Him and his servant, they went out looking for the donkeys, and God had provided Saul to be a king. And they were looking for these donkeys, and they couldn't find them. They were 3 days out, so they decided to go ask Samuel, the seer. He was called the seer, the person that sees. And so when they went to see Samuel, God spoke to Samuel just before Saul got there, and he said, the young man that I spoke to you of, he's going to be here today. So Samuel got him, spoke to him, anointed him, told him what would happen on his way back, told him that his father's donkeys were found. And so he sent him back. And the Bible says that when some of the things that Samuel had spoken to him began to happen, he received a new heart. And as time went on, Samuel was working with Saul, and Saul told Samuel, he said, there's going to be a time where I want you to go down to Gilgal. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to find out what God wants you to do. So Saul had become the king, and he was going through a few things, and all of a sudden there were the Philistines began to attack, and there was a huge army that had gathered to attack Saul and Israel. And so Saul goes down to Gilgal, and he's waiting for Samuel. Samuel told him, you wait for me 7 days. On the seventh day, Samuel waited and waited and waited, and he was so stressed about what the Philistine army was doing. He said, you know what? He told us, go ahead and let's do a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he sacrificed unto the Lord. And that, wouldn't you know it, as soon as he got through sacrificing, who shows up? Samuel. And Samuel says, what have you done? He says, I told you to wait for me. See, Samuel, I don't think he had a pride issue. Saul had a hearing issue. He said, wait for me, and when we'll sacrifice, and God will tell you what to do. He says, God loves someone that will listen more than he loves burnt offerings and sacrifices. He just wants you to listen. That's all. So after a while, God took care of that army that was attacking them. So it wasn't too long later on that there was another thing going on, and God told Samuel to tell Saul, he goes, hey, look, tell him to go against Amalek, and I want you to do, this is what I want him to do. I remember what he did. Amalek attacked the children of Israel as he came out of Egypt. He says, so I want Saul to go in and to kill everybody, kill all the animals. And that sounds mean, isn't that right? Doesn't sound good, but he wants you to kill all the animals, leave nothing alive, but wipe out Amalek. So Saul goes in there. Samuel tells Saul. Saul goes in there, and he comes back. And Saul really thinks he did the will of the Lord. And when he comes back, he's got the king of Amalek. He's got him with him. And he's got a bunch of sheep and oxen and goats. And Samuel comes in, and then Saul tells Samuel, hey, blessed of the Lord, how are you? Well, I have performed what God has asked me to do. Samuel looks at him and says, hey, well, what's this bleating of the sheep that I hear? What's going on? Where'd you get them? Where are they from? And he goes, oh, the people saved them. They're going to be, they saved the best so that we can sacrifice them to the Lord. Hey, what's this king doing standing over here? Oh, well, I've just brought the king, you know. I think Saul realized that he had not performed what God had told him to do. So Samuel whips out his sword and he gets a hold of that king and he chops him to pieces. Pretty harsh, pretty wild, isn't that right? And Samuel tells Saul, he goes, look, God has removed you from being king and he's given the kingdom to someone that's better than you, is what he said. Someone that will listen. God has said that he is a man after his own heart. Can you imagine what Saul felt? Where in the beginning, he was this humble guy. So humble that when they tried to find him to make him king, he was hiding. But now all of a sudden, he thought he could do everything the way he wanted to do it. Is that crazy? Didn't listen to Samuel. Just did what he wanted to do. So let's just keep reading here just for a minute. It says this. Afterwards, they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, God had taken him away. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. How many say amen? How many know David was a good king? Yeah, he had some problems. He got into some sticky spots, but for the most part, David was a man after God's own heart. And this is what he says here. He says, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill what? All of my will. It's important that we find what God's will is. And I want to take you to Psalm 119, because what does a man's heart look like that wants to fulfill God's will? And so let's go to Psalm 119. And I love this. I love this verse, starting at verse 92. It says, oh, how I love your law. Is that right? Oh, how I love your law. See, there's something about somebody that loves the Word of God. How many love the Word of God? I mean, there's things in the Word of God that we haven't experienced yet. And I will tell you, stay in the Word of God, because God will open it up to you. He will reveal His Word to you as you go along. God is, I mean, I heard one of the brothers told me, well, I read it once. Have you read it again? No, I don't pick it up. Oh, I read it once. See, it's not a book. It is not, I mean, it is not a science book. How many know that? It's not a science book. It's not trying to deal with your intellect. It is talking about spiritual things, spiritual matters. And it's important that you take up His Word every day, and look at the Word of God and say, God, what are you saying to me? He said, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are with me. How did he get wiser than his enemies? Through God's commandments. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. Is it important that you know what God's word is saying to you? Yeah. Is it important? He says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for thou hast taught me. Who's teaching him? The word of God is teaching him. Is that right? Can I tell you, the word of God is spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are truth. So anytime you're in the word of God and the word of God is coming to you, God will open things up to you and you're being taught by the Lord. Can I tell you, that's the best way to be taught. I would say that in today's day, that's the only way to be taught. Because it's the Holy Ghost, the unction of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to build his people and strengthen them the way he wants to do it. So he's going to teach you. He's going to do the work. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's cool. I've not departed from your judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Here's a man that loves God's word, man. And it's no wonder that God would make a young man like David the king. When nobody else thought he was worthy to wear a crown. How many know that? They say, hey, man, is this all your sons? You know, Jesse had 8 sons. Chronicles says that he only had 7. So there, I don't know what the difference is. I don't know. Maybe one of them was killed. I don't know. But in the book of Chronicles, you're going to see that it names the 7 sons of Jesse. But when David was anointed by the word of God, by Samuel, when God told Samuel to anoint him, there were 7 boys, and David being the youngest. So I don't know why that description, I don't know what happened, but somehow there was an 8th brother or an 8th son. But the youngest one wasn't invited to be to the sacrifice that Samuel was going to make. The youngest son wasn't even thought about. And when God had looked at all the sons, he says, is this all your boys? Because God was, he was waiting for God. He said, are these all your boys? No, we got one more. He's feeding the sheep. Well, we won't sit down to eat till he gets here. And as soon as he got there, the Lord told Samuel, arise, anoint him, for that's the one. The youngest. Probably not the first choice. Is that right? When Samuel saw Abinadab, his older brother, he was higher. God said, don't look on the outside. Because I don't look on the outside. I look on the heart. How many know God looks on the heart? Can I tell you right now, God's looking on your heart. He's looking at you. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, he's looking at you. No, I mean, look at him. Say, he's looking at you. Yeah. Know that God looks on the heart. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. He looks on the heart. How many of you want to do the will of God? Let me just see. I want to ask for hands because how many of you just want to do God's will? I just want to do what God's will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It should be in the heart of every Christian to desire to do what God wants them to do. Is that right? Can I tell you, folks, just coming to church isn't what all that it entails. Is that right? It's not. It is moving. In him we move, we live, and we have our being. Everything you do should be a worship to God. Every opportunity you have, every time you get a chance, there should be a worship coming from your house. My son was talking to me. He says, Dad, you know, worship is something that we live in. How many know that? I mean, say amen. We live in it. It is a place where we stand and we say, man, everything that we do, as we walk during our day, we're worshiping God. So come on, man. It's not just in music time. It's not just in prayer time. It's a whole walk that you walk in. You worship God. I'm worshiping you, Father. And as you worship him, you watch what God will do. He does things. Glory to God. But if you want to do the will, I just want to go over 3 things, if you will, as far as we want to do the will of God. And the will of God, can I tell you, is something personal for your life, your life. I cannot tell you what the will of God is for your life unless God says something to me. But for every one of us in this room, you have to be looking. You have to be going to God and say, God, I want your will for my life. Most of you don't know. You're already walking in it. The job you have, what you do as a mom, everything that you're doing, God's already got this will working in your life. But how many want that enhanced will? How many want that one where you know, where God is saying, man, this is the way, walk in it. That's what he says. Walk in his. So I just want to go over a few things. I said, the first thing I want to tell you is that you must be born again. Now, let's just look at that. Look at that up on the screen. You must be born of the Spirit. Is that okay? You've got to be born of the Spirit to do the will of God. Because if the Spirit, if you have not been born of the Spirit, you can't understand what the will. The Bible says this, that the things of God are foolishness to those that don't know. Is that right? Why? Because there's a gap. We don't understand God. So there's no way we're going to understand his will. So you must be born again to understand God's will. I want to show you a few scriptures on that. Here's John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. You must be born of the Spirit. Here's where Jesus says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How many know that? You've got to be born again. I had a lady talking to me one day, oh, you're one of those born again believers. I go, what's this? No. Whatever. I said, what is this? Born again? Yeah, I'm a born again believer. Yeah, I am. My life has been, I'm new. Something happened to me back in August 8th, 1979, where my life totally changed. Something brand new happened within me.
Amen.
How to explain it? It's not easy to explain because it's a spiritual thing. How many know that? The things of the Spirit of God are hard to be understood sometimes, especially to somebody that doesn't believe. So yeah, I'm one of those. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Everybody in here is born of the flesh. How many know that? Come on, you're all, yeah, okay, we good so far? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen? Marvel not that I said to you, you must be what? Born again. In order to know the will of God, you've got to be born again. There is no way you can know God's will unless you're born again. Does that make spiritual sense to you? Praise God. You must be born again. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this. Jesus is speaking again. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. How many want to bring forth much fruit? Amen. How many is that? He says it, and this is what he says. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Not a thing. Is that right? There's a lot of people out there that are doing stuff. Is that right? But some of that stuff, if they don't know the Lord, is it of any value? Is it of any value? It might be to the world around us. And, you know, I mean, Steve Jobs had a nice little company where he was building stuff and high-tech stuff. But is it any value? Is it any spiritual value? Is there any spiritual value in it? Where Jesus says that this, without me, you can't do anything. Can I tell you, when you read a scripture like that, does it place you, do you feel bad? Or does it place you in a place where you understand, where you say, man, God, I know that humbleness, I got to be humble in these things. How many like that humble pie? Does anybody eat humble pie? I'm going to tell you something, it's good pie. Try it. It's good for you. Humble pie. Hallelujah. Without me, you can do nothing. Then Zechariah 4:6 says this. He says, then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Can I tell you, that's the only way to go. It's by his spirit. God will strengthen you by his spirit into your spirit. What we're talking about is self-will. I'm on, you know, the selfie thing. Can I tell you, we get really enamored with ourselves. Is that right? How many love yourself? Well, you should. Come on.
I do.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. How many you love yourself? The Bible says even a man, I mean, he's talking about marriage, how a man is to take care of his wife and everything. And he says that. He says that, you know, as he takes care of himself, he should take care of his wife. Is that cool? Because you're going to take care of yourself. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning to see how you looked? Anybody. 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 Some of you, I can tell you didn't. I'm just kidding. I'm just, yeah, buddy, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. We care. Is that right? So you got to care about yourself. But there's a point. Is that right? There's where you're so focused on yourself that everything around you, and it doesn't faze you because you're so focused on yourself. How many of you know people like that? They're not here, are they? There ain't nobody like that in here. Ain't nobody like that in a sense. God's will, what he has for you, cannot be done without the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Do you understand that? That His Spirit working in you is what gets things done. Is that right? Spiritually. Hallelujah. Number two, you must believe that you have a divine nature. If you've ever given your heart to the Lord, how many of you in the house have given your heart to Jesus? Come on, man. Let's raise some hands. If you've ever given your heart to the Lord, what has happened is God, by His Spirit, has come and given you a divine nature. He has awakened your spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body. How many know that? God created Adam out of the dust. He formed his body. And the Bible says that he breathed into Adam the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God. And man became a living soul. The soul part of you is the mind, your will, and your emotions. Is that okay? The spirit part of you is how you commune with God. That's the spirit. So when you were born again, God awakened your spirit. He turned it on. It was asleep. You were basically, before you knew the Lord, being led by your mind, your will, and your emotions. But when you gave your heart to Jesus, he turned the spiritual on in your life, and then you begin to take on spiritual things. Things started to get clear. How many of you remember reading the Bible? You could not understand it. I remember as a Catholic boy, I mean, I tried to read it. The only ones I could read was Jonah. I could understand a big fish. But when I got in the New Testament, Romans and all those things, it was like, what is this? I don't even understand what it's saying. I don't get it. I don't get it. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, all of a sudden, everything turned on. And I could see what God was saying. It's the Spirit of God begins to show me His Word. Begin to show these things to me. So you must believe that God has imparted to you a divine nature, a spiritual nature. Is that okay? One that's called after Him. Is that okay? Because when you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you accept Him, He comes to dwell in you. Is that right? And in that dwelling, He begins to clean house. How many know that God needs a clean house every once in a while? How many are still going through some house cleanings? Isn't that right? Just when you think the house is good, the roof starts leaking again. Is that right? Isn't that right? Come on, man. The house cleaning of the Lord. He comes in, and all of a sudden, just when you thought you were doing real good, He shows you something else. And He says, yeah, I'm taking you. I'm taking you someplace because He is doing a work in you by His Spirit. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You must be born again, and you must believe that you have a divine nature. I used to talk with a man at one of the churches, and all he would say to me is, I'm just an old sinner. And I look up and say, no, you're not. I tell him about what Jesus has done in his life, and he goes, well, I'm just an old sinner. I said, come on, man. You're not hearing me, are you? He was focused of his need for a Savior, and that's okay. How many say that's okay? But there's more than just Him saving you. There is what God wants to do is build you and strengthen you so that you might be a man or a woman of God in the earth today. Is that cool? That's very nice. That's very good. So you have to believe. You need to believe that God has imparted to you a divine nature. And I want you to show you some of these scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Check these out. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Who is he talking to? He's talking to all of us right here. Is that right? Anybody that's listening, everybody. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Through the knowledge of God. How do you get grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God. And of Jesus our Lord, according to His divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You see that scripture? How much has God given you? All things. He's already given it to you. Do you know where it's at? It's already within you. Everything that you need for life and godliness is already in you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is doing it. See, there's a divine nature that's inside of you already. That divine nature will begin to speak to you. It will begin to correct things within you. It will begin to correct the way you think. It will begin to correct the way you talk. I remember I used to have a foul mouth. How many of you know that? You don't know that, do you? Come on, man. No, I used to have a foul mouth. But that divine nature came in and began to push those things away. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. It's the divine nature that began to work on me after about my anger. It's the divine nature that began to work to tell me that, you know, hey, I have a hard time considering myself a pastor. But it's that divine nature that begins to say, no, you are who I say you are. Do you understand that? It is God's will that's working. That divine nature that's within you will strengthen you. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what?
Divine nature.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. God has given you a divine nature. You need to know that 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to God. How many know that God gives those things freely? You know why they're free? Because Jesus paid a price for them. He died on a cross so that you could have all these things, so that we could step into these things that He has designed for us in this time in our world today. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 26 says this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall, what? Teach you. How many things? He shall teach you all things. Everybody say, He shall teach me all things. He will teach you all things. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what He was sent in the earth to do. So that He might teach you. So that when you compare spiritual words with spiritual words, God, by the Holy Spirit, will begin to strengthen you and build you in the way of truth. Is that right? Truth. He will teach you. The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. How many of you know it's good to remember the things that God has said to you? Is that good for you? Just going through your day, and all of a sudden you start remembering something that God is saying to you. And that, man, praise God, man. That's where the Word of God says that David said, man, I meditate on your Word all day long, because I love your Word, Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, He's got a will. And He wants to work it within you so that you do His will as soon as He says it. As soon as He says, this is what I have for you to do, you go do it. Is that cool? As soon as He says, this is what I want you to say, you say it. Do you know this is the way Jesus lived? Jesus said, He goes, I do nothing on my own. Everything that I do, my Father shows me. That's the way He lived His life. He lived it according to the will of God. Hallelujah. The last thing is humbly and confidently give yourself up to God's will. Humbly and confidently. How can that be the same? Can humbly and confident be in the same word? It can. Humbly. You humble yourself before the Lord. And then when He says something to you, or when you take His word and you confidently take in what His word is saying to you, and you hold to it no matter what. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You hold to it no matter what. When your loved ones are sick, you hold to the word of God. Is that right? Don't let go of it. This, Father, is what you have said. Therefore, my daughter, in the name of Jesus, is healed. My son, in the name of Jesus, is healed. My friend Bob, my friend Steve, my friend is healed according to your word. And you hold to it. Is that right? How many know you just hold to it? His word is truth. think about this. Do you feel that it might be God's will for you to release his word? For you to say, it's not going to happen. Do you think that's God's will? That's not his will. His will is that you hold. And when you've done all to stand, you stand. Is that right? You stand. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you're going through something, don't stop going to the word of God. Go to the word of God. That is what's going to hold you through what you're going through. It will hold you and keep you and take you through. Probably won't pull you out. God's not about you getting pulled out of stuff. Is that right? If you get pulled out of it right away, you're not going to pick up anything that's valuable to you to learn through it. Is that right? God will take you through it. He really will. Because it's his will that you be strengthened. Hallelujah. So humbly and confidently give yourself up to God's will. Philippians 2:21. Look at this one. This is a scripture. Paul was talking to the Philippians, and he's talking about his guy that he's bringing up, his son in the Lord. His name was Timothy, and he said, I'm going to send him to you. Because there's nobody else that's like him that will care for your needs. And then Paul says this right here. He says, for all seek their own, and not the things which are Christ's, Jesus Christ's. Is that a sad statement? Yeah. To me, that's a sad statement. I said, for all seek their own. Folks, can I tell you something? We are not really to seek our own. Is that right? We are to seek God, not your own. Seek after God. The Word of God says this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest of the stuff will be added to you. Is that right? You got to seek him. But here Paul says, for all seek their own, and not the things that are Jesus Christ's. See, the will of God is that we would seek him. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways are what? Higher. Where? Higher. Higher. Everybody say higher.
Higher.
Higher. His thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. Is God teasing us by saying that? Because that's a statement that says, well, his ways are... we could stop right there and say, well, his ways are higher than my ways. I don't get them. I don't understand it. So what's the point? Is that right? Is that what that scripture is there for? That scripture is there. He's telling you, look, my ways are higher than your ways. The word of God says to humble what? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And the word of God says this, and he will do what? He will lift you up. When you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up. Lift you up to what? His ways. That's where he's going to take you. He's going to place you into his ways. He's going to place you into his thoughts when you humble yourself. Folks, this book is to be read, not just the stuff you like. Is that right? Some people, well, I only read Romans. I don't read the Old Testament. Well, why not? The Word of God is good for you. How many say amen?
Amen.
The whole Word of God. Now, this is what he's given us. He's given us the scriptures. I have not found to where I feel like I know everything in the Bible. How many of you found that? How many of that one? You can't. Because it's unsearchable. It is a book that is... So when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he'll begin to bring his thoughts and his ways into your mind, into your heart, so that you might know him in a way that you've never known him before, because his ways begin to work within you. You have to humble yourself before him, and he'll lift you up. He'll show you these things. Isn't that good? Praise God. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want you. This here was what I like to call a growth scripture. Scriptures that bring growth. Scriptures that talk about a growth. I've got two of them in the sermon today. There are two growth scriptures, but this one here, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to who? To God, which is your reasonable service." Is that right? If Jesus could die on a cross for you, could it be reasonable for you to say, "God, I'll just do whatever you need me to do"? Could that be reasonable? Absolutely. He says, "Which is your reasonable service." Verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and will and perfect will of God." This is a growth scripture. And the reason I call it a growth scripture is because when I was looking at it, the Holy Spirit was giving me, he said, "Henry, that's a growth scripture. You grow into that." Okay. So the first thing you're going to go through is you're going to go through the good will of God. And then the acceptable will of God. It's going to get better and better. And then there's going to be a time where there's a perfect will of God. How many of you think you're walking in the perfect will of God? It's kind of out there, isn't it? How many of you know Jesus walked in the perfect will of God? Because he shows us how to do it. He says, "I don't do anything myself. My Father, he shows me. He shows me what to do. He tells me what to say." That's what Jesus told the Pharisees the whole time. He says, "It's not me, it's my Father working in me and through me." Jesus walked in the perfect will of God. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad? That perfect will took him to a cross. Is that okay? So that you and I could have access to what he's done for us. Isn't that cool? So that we could be redeemed. Where are you in those? Are you just doing the good will of God? Or are you doing the acceptable will of God? Were you growing in these things in the will of God? Because God is trying to get you into that perfect will that he has for you, where you respond to his Spirit that says, "Yeah, I'll go. I want you to go. Okay, I'll go. I want you to say this. Okay, I'll say it. I want you to do whatever was happening like in Jesus' life, that's what he's after for you." And sometimes we think, you know, well, we're going to be just like, you know, Jesus had 3 years to display the glory of God. How many know that? 3 years. So every day of his life was bang, 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 doing stuff. But see, we've got a whole body of Christ out here today. We've got a whole bunch of folks. How much more if we just do just what he tells us to do just for today? It could be just go talk to your neighbor across the street. Go take their trash. Go pick up the trash that the dog knocked over in their yard. It could be something just that simple, but it's God's will for you today. And God's asking you, will you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Luke 9:23 says this. Jesus says, and he said to them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And I like that last word. What does it say? How often does he want you to take up his cross? How often does he want you to deny yourself? Could that be a daily? Come on, man. I'm going to tell you, God's will, let me just say this to you, God's will cannot operate with your will. He has to change your will into his will, which is spiritual. Do you hear me? Your will is situated in your soul. It's what I want to do. It's what most people do, what they do, because they want to do it. And they don't care what you say about it. Is that okay? Is that what they say? But God would come in and say, "Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and bring out my children." What? Why me? See, the will of God overruns your will if you allow it. Can I just say this to you? The will of God is the greatest thing you can be doing. It's the neatest thing. If you think it's going to be boring, it will not be boring. it will be just actively doing what God has said to you. Hear and you do. You hear and you do. You see and you and God shows you. It's really, really a good place to be. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this. This is another growth scripture that the Lord says, and he said unto them, if any man come after me, I'm sorry, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? Even to them that believe on his name. This is a power verse. I mean, this is a growth verse. Number one, you got to receive him. Is that right? You receive him. And then he says, to as many as received him, to them I gave power and the growth to be the Son of God. Can I tell you, God is desiring that the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, be seen in the earth. How many know that? Do you know that? Do you know that God is serious about this? About you going from just receiving him to you going to becoming a son of God in the earth. To where you lay hands on somebody. Where it becomes just a natural, spiritual. Can I say natural, spiritual? Does that work? Not really. It just becomes a natural, spiritual thing that you do for people that are around you. Glory to God. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now check this out. I just want you to get excited of becoming a son or daughter of God, if you will. And I don't want you to, please don't get hung up on the word sons of God. Because in the scriptures, it teaches us that there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. I mean, you guys have read that. It says that, but all are in Christ. So when Christ comes into your life, actually the Son of God is in your life. Is that okay? Do you understand that? God, the Son of God is living in your life. So ladies, you can be a son of God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because it is the Son of God that's dwelling within you. So when the Word of God says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, don't get hung up on the gender. Is that okay? Don't get hung up on just get a hold of what the truth is saying to you. And then it says, then I want you to look at this. Romans 8:14 says this, to as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. To as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Ladies, you're being led to do something, you're a son of God. You are a son. Can I tell you how important the world needs to see this? Can I just say that to you? The world needs to see this in the body of Christ. They need to see the sons and the daughters of God. I'll call them daughters. But God, can I just say this? The world is looking for it. Let me just show you this next scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 says this. For the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation waits for what? For the manifestation of who we are. See, you've got a divine nature working within you. And the whole creation around us is waiting to see that. Just as it saw Jesus. Just as Jesus was looked upon and said, man, yeah, people made fun of him and everything, but can I tell you? He is the most powerful person the world has ever seen. There's been no one like him. He is everything that we need. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. And I'm going to ask Abe if he could do something. But I'm going to pray. And if this worked, those of you that took pictures of a selfie of you with somebody, this is what I want you to do. Get that selfie, and I want you to pray for that person. Was that okay? You pray for him. You look at it and say, look, this is brother. Pray for him. Who was it that got, yeah. Pray for me, man. Take that picture. Look at these pictures as we go through. I say no longer a self-centered generation. but a generation that is seeking to see God's will in the life of those around them. Jota, pray for those. Is that cool? Anybody get a picture of my wife? She needs prayer. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing, God. And Lord, as we look at our phones and as we find these photographs, Father God, I pray, God, that you would, Lord, place a special anointing on those praying. Lord, that we might pray for one another as you have said, that we might grow in grace, that we, Father God, as your children, Lord, would find that we are in a body that is placed and put together by you according to your will. That's what your word has told us, Father. All these things are according to your will. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. For your grace, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.